You are listening to a special edition podcast for Marvel's Ant-Man and the Wasp. It's time for another dive into the MCU. It's a special edition podcast for Marvel's Ant-Man and the Wasp. I am your host, Dr. Marvelous One, Dr. Iggy, the creator of Iggy Particles. Joining me tonight is my own Bill Foster. Taser, Taser, welcome to the show.
God damn it.
Hey, you get killed by Thor. That's pretty cool.
No, I got killed by Ragnarok. Remember?
Oh, that's true. Yeah, get killed by the Clump Thor.
You also got to run the Daily Planet too, but that's a whole story.
Woohoo! Yeah. Good point. I also got to bring Neo into the real world. Yeah, you know, I gave him the Red Pill. So that's going to be my name from now on. Red Pill. I'm MGTOW Man.
And joining us next is the man who fears Baba Yaga, Jonathan. Chappell, welcome back to the show.
I thought we weren't going to get political, motherfucker. Thank you. Kidding. It is truth serum. Yeah.
Anyways, we are the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. We are a podcast dedicated to all things Marvel related. This time, this show will focus on, as I said, on Marvel's Ant-Man and Wasp, the first film to be released after Infinity War. And we already talked about that. Go listen to that review then. Warning, if you haven't seen Infinity War yet, although it's coming out on Blu-ray like in a week, I think. It comes out digital like a week or two, and then a Blu-ray in about a month, which I hate that. Anyways, that's not discussed. So be forewarned, there might be some Infinity War spoilers. We're going to talk about what we liked, what we didn't like. I can't say the nerdy because then Andre's going to sue us, but we're going to talk about the geeky aspects of Ant-Man and the Wasp. Okay, let's get into overall thoughts first. Let's go into Bill. Bill, what did you think of Ant-Man and the Wasp? General overthoughts.
A good, safe, fun movie. Something you could bring the kids, something you could bring the wife, something you could bring Grand Aunt Methuselah if she enjoys, you know, levity and fun. This was one of the more comic booky of Marvel's offerings, which is a good thing. You know, it's something that everybody can kind of grab a hold of, and you don't have to be a comic book fan to really enjoy this movie. It was nice, safe, clean. The Incredibles in live action, shall we say. And I enjoyed it. You know, it was money well spent.
John, overall thoughts on Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Okay, I'm kind of stunned that Taser actually spent money on a movie. That's shocking. I loved it. I had the wife with me. We both just sat there and we loved it. I mean, everything clicked for me. There's a reason why Ant-Man, the first one, is still in my top five, and it was the only movie of the MCU that I've seen twice in theater. You know, for repeated showings. If my kids want to go see Ant-Man and the Wasp before it comes out on video, I'll be more than happy to go back in the theater and watch it. That's how much I've loved the film. Everybody clicked. You know, the main cast, you know, is Pip, you know, Pip, and you got to have Luis, you know, in a movie. You know, you just got to have him. You got to have your dose of Luis.
No, you mean your dose of Ben. You have to have your dose of Ben.
Not Michael Pena. That gentleman is actually funny.
I don't know why you keep doing that. You were in the movie. Why lie about it? We recognize you. That's you.
My hair can't even do whatever.
You were in the movie.
Well, they do have wigs. But I loved everything. I loved how they did with the Pym particles and everything. Anything that was, it was fun. I just, cars shrinking, everything else, just, I can't really, it was a fun romp. It was a much needed lighthearted film, so that way, where the comedy actually was perfect for it and not just, like forced in there like other movies like Thor Ragnarok. Anyway, overall, I really enjoyed it. Money, like Taser said, money well spent. So, even though I can't believe that he actually spent money, but that's the whole.
Bleh.
I think we're going to go 3 for 3 on this one because I'm going to agree with y'all. It's the perfect palate cleanser from Infinity War because we talked about this Infinity War before, but like I said before, when the second Infinity War starts, you're like gripping your chair, from that first scene on. It doesn't really let you let go. There's a couple of moments of levity in that movie, but that's how the movie's supposed to be. This is just like, I talked to this about my dad. It's like there's one word I can sum up Ant-Man and the Wasp is it's wholesome. Like it's about family. There's some funny jokes. There's nothing really in it that's like, there were some instances, but there was nothing like super hilarious that I was like in stitches over. But there was a lot of moments where I laughed, I chuckled, I smiled. There was a lot of moments like that. There were some nice twists and turns. I love the shrinking stuff. Evangeline Lilly as Hope is great. I love her. I want her more in more Marvel movies outside of this franchise. Overall, it was a fun time. It was a very fun time at the movie theater, and I have a friend visiting in a couple of weeks, so I might just go see it again. Either that or Jurassic World, Fallen Kingdom, I think it's called. But we'll see. But
Also, fun movie. I heard that Brian Powers and Sarah with an H, they didn't like this movie because they're haters, and it didn't have enough demented puppies and stuff. So yeah, Brian Powers doesn't like Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Woo! Spread that now. Let it sink in. He's gonna be so confused when he hits Facebook. But yeah, let's go ahead and get into the nitty gritty. Let's get the negative out because I hope there's less negative to talk about. But Taser, what are some things you didn't like about Ant-Man and the Wasp?
It needed boobies. It needed boobies. I liked. I could get behind. The actress that played Ghost. I like her because she's in a TV show called something on Sci-Fi. I can't remember the fucking name of this damn show now, but she's a lot of fun. But I was initially very disappointed. Well, not very disappointed. I was surprised that they made the Ghost female. Huh. Okay. Fuck it. The Ghost doesn't have to be male. Just like Spider-Man. You could actually make Spider-Man something else. He doesn't have to be Caucasian, but either way. I don't like Hope's Wasp outfit. They went with the basic black with some gold, sections and like red and blue tracing and shit like that. But it's like black seems to be like the default outfit for superhero costumes, and I was just, I grew up with Janet Van Dyne, and Janet had a whole plethora of outfits during her run on Avengers, and there was at one point she had settled on one. It was like that black one with the big gold chest pieces, which was actually a pretty cool looking costume. I recognize that you couldn't do it. It would be difficult to do that live action, but what they gave us was just kind of, looked kind of, we don't want it to stand out because we don't want it to look like a costume, even though it's a costume, so we'll put a little bit of color and, I don't know, I was disappointed with her outfit. Also, not for nothing, I understand that the character had actually trained to be Wasp. But they really rubbed it in to, on Scott's character and how lacking he is, you know, compared to her. You know, almost everything was like a joke and a smack in the face of him just getting caught out there like, oh, wait a minute, I done fucked up? I'm sorry. And, you know, they just kind of like roll their eyes and shit, you know. And I'm like, you know, Scott Lang is not an idiot. And he's not an idiot in the movie. But they constantly have him do things which later on they go, you did this? And he's like, whoa.
What the fuck, Scott?
Yeah, you know, and I'm and just, but yet and still, you see like, you see that apparently he had been making some good inroads. And then, you know, Civil War happened, and all of a sudden he's on the house with them and everything else like that. So I don't know. I like I said, I think they wanted to put Scott on a lower tier and being on the outs, but I didn't like how they did it. Other than that, I didn't like that very last scene. The one at all the way at the end of the credits, I think that was kind of like overdone. Other than that, I didn't really have any great problems with the movie. It does what it needs to do, and it does it well, you know. So that's really my only complaints. You know, I don't have a lot.
John, what did you do? You have any negative thoughts about Ant-Man and the Wasp?
The only main complaint I had was the stupid gangster person. You know, it could have.
Oh, Walter Goggins, who has the funniest name in all of Hollywood.
You know what's sad about that? That guy is—he's gonna get like Tracy Haddish. He's typecast because just about every role I've seen him in, he plays a douchebag, and he plays a country douchebag. You know, he's been in Jackie Chan movies. He was in what, Major League 3. He was on SEAL Team 6, like the first season, and they killed him off the second season. He's been in a lot of stuff, and just about every one of them, he plays a douchebag. And the sad part is, he plays a good douchebag.
Hey, he gets work.
You don't want to get typecast. Like, hey, we need a douchebag for this. Oh, let's call Walter Goggins. That's like the guy from Die Hard, the reporter. That guy always plays a douchebag. Remember him, the guy that gets punched in the face by the wife?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
it's been a while since I've watched Die Hard.
But... he was the guy that Bill Murray makes fun of in Ghostbusters. He's like, "Yes, Your Honor, this man truly has no dick." That guy. He always plays a douchebag, you know. So I mean. I don't like seeing people just get typecast like that. You know, it's just kind of disappointing, but he's good at it. he was actually pretty good in this movie, you know, like convincing. You know, I accept him for what he was trying to portray, and he was a big fucking douchebag.
Okay, can I continue now or
no? It's okay, Bri Bri's turn. Bri Bri, you take over.
Yeah, yay, hotter, Boston up here, yeah. But anyway, no, that was about my only major complaint was the him, you know, and along with the way they, I don't know, I couldn't explain it to Audrey why I didn't like the FBI agent because, you know, Mr. Wu is
Randall Kim?
I like the actor, but I didn't like how they did the character because the character's such a major badass in the comics.
Oh, okay.
That's Jimmy Woo. He's a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent, right?
Yes, in the comics. Right, he's a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent. He also, you know, he just, you know, but, you know, that's just how they did it. And then I think what also I didn't like was the lacking of more of the family element. I mean, yes, I know they were trying to go for the family part with Hope and Hank, but... not enough stuff with Scott's daughter and his, you know, and her stepdad and her mother. You know, they were just kind of like glorified, you know, cameos. And that was some of the best stuff in the first movie. I mean, what they did in there in this movie was fun and was charming, but just not enough of it. And I think the only other thing I had a issue with was... not enough Ghost. We didn't see enough of her. And I really liked her, the suit, and I liked her powers. I kept halfway expecting, thinking the Vision was going to pop up and school her on how to be able to, you know, dematerialize and be intangible. But I was really surprised to see, Perry White in the movie. I just was like, why the fuck is Neo here? Yeah, or Morpheus, I mean, sorry. And I was just like, cool. And then he was like, oh, you're Bill Foster. Okay, I was wondering if they were going to throw him in. But like I said, I know I'm rambling, but that was the main thing. And then not enough Lewis, you know, not enough of the no man. And, you know, I heard from a friend.
Don't even talk like that. Jesus fucking Christ.
No, he's whiter than I am when it comes to sounding like that. Now, come on, Holmes. Folks, Iggy is probably one of the whitest Mexicans I've ever known. That's not a bad thing, but, you know.
That's when he's trying to conversate. I'm sure when he's at home, you know, with the rest of the vatos and everything, I'm sure he lets the tattoos roll down his sleeves and slicks his hair back. And, you know, he buttons his shirt to top button first and then lets the rest hang out with the wife beater underneath.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Mighty Warriors 3 is looking for two new positions opening up. And
hey,
we would like to give good endeavors to both Jonathan and Taser as we look for younger talent, you know.
Simone!
But yeah, anyway, there we go. But that was basically, that's how good the movie was. I really didn't have any actual serious complaints. It just, God, it was just, yeah, we can go to the positive if we want. I also wanted to say that I actually kind of liked the very end credit scene, even if it wasn't really needed. I just felt like it was kind of funny. But, you know, this is how they did it. If they had reversed them, would have been better. But here we go.
I'm trying to think of, there really wasn't much to like, not like. I mean, I kind of agree with Taser that, Scott was kind of treated like a total dumbass in this one when he's not really. He has his moments of brilliance, but I felt like I liked seeing Hope kick a lot of ass. Like, that was fine. That was not a turnout at all. She can stop me in the face any day, but I feel like Scott could have had more to do. I mean the best scene with him is when his suit is malfunctioning because of Hank Pym hadn't fixed the prototype, and he's like a toddler, or not a toddler, like a little kid in school. I thought that scene was great, but
I couldn't help but think of that scene in Deadpool 2 when I saw him.
Yeah, that's what I thought of too. Yeah. I felt like, I think overall the plot's kind of weak. Like, the overall center plot is weak because it's basically, I mean, the idea is to get Janet back. Like, that's the center, and like, we all knew that. But the fact that Ghost's motivations was kind of like, we're going to use it to suck the quantum realm's energy from Janet. Why couldn't they just why did it have to be specifically Janet? Why couldn't they do it directly from the quantum realm? Just, That seemed a little weak. I thought, even though Bill Foster had, like, because I actually thought, because I knew, we all knew Bill Foster was going to be in this movie. But when they showed him in the trailer, and they showed him in the movie, and then, like, Hank and Bill kind of have their, you know, their dick swaddling match over who did what, I thought that was going to be the end of Bill. And then him coming back to, you know, that he's helping Ghost, I thought, well, that's a nice twist. But he doesn't really do anything after that. Like, he kind of just more persuades Ghost to be like, we can't do this. I won't do this. I know I helped you do it this far. I've known you killed other people before, but I can't let you do this. I thought him overall was kind of weak.
To go with that part, honestly, I thought Ghost was going to kill him. You know, it was going to be one of those where her affliction, like, because it's killing her, it hits like a terminal point when it starts like ramping up, and she becomes like so, she's in pain so much that he goes, "No, you can't do this because you know morals or whatever the fuck," and she would do something that would lead to Bill's death. I was fully prepared to watch him die in this movie, and fortunately it didn't happen, you know, and kind of unfortunately it didn't happen, but that's not me, you know, hating on anything. I really expected him to die, and I was kind of pleasantly surprised that, you know, the really only other black guy aside from T.I. that's in this movie, hey, he survived too.
I disagree with John, the fact that Louise wasn't, I thought he was used perfectly, because I actually kind of feared that we would get a, well, there was this one time, you know, back a lot, but we only got it that one time, where he was under the not true serum. like that was great. I do wish we got more of them though, a little bit. Like that's kind of my criticism. We got more with the Russian and T.I.'s characters. Like they were nice whenever they would show up. But I thought overall, like I could have had one more scene, a couple more scenes with those guys. There's not much not to like about this movie. So let's get into what we did like. Taser, what are some of the things, Ant-Man, that stuck out to you the most that you did like?
The Hot Wheel car carrier.
Yeah.
The Hot Wheel car carrier. When he pulls it out the first time, I'm looking at that, I'm like, I've seen that before. What the hell is... And then when he opens it, I'm like, no! And, like, further down the line during the movie, he actually says the Hot Wheels car carrier. I'm like, holy shit, they did. And then that's when Luis pulls out the freaking, the purple car with the flaming racing stripe. Oh, man. I thought Janet also having the ability to expand objects is actually a pretty neat, offensive capability, not something that, you know, she ever really did in the comics, but for the movies she used it, and it comes off really well, especially with my man who was trying to get out the door and she threw the freaking the salt shaker and blocks the door and he's like dong.
Yeah, that was
but even when she threw the Pez dispenser, that was a present from Scott's daughter to Luis. Hope, you fucking douchebag. Alright. Seeing a freaking giant Pez dispenser coming at you has gotta be fucking terrifying. You know, so that as an offensive capability, I thought that was actually pretty cool. Would have been nice if they gave it to Scott too. But anyway, I digress. There was a lot to like in this movie. The whole, he shrinks the building and then uses it, and then brings it along like carry-on luggage. That's like, oh, wow, ain't that some shit? You know, finding out what was in the Altoids tin when Scott kept trying to grab one. He's like, no, no. And he's not explaining anything, but you find out why exactly.
I thought he was being just petty as fuck.
And that's how they played it. But you find out, no, that's not why, you know. And I thought that was done really well. I liked Bill Foster, and I liked that it wasn't just a cameo with Bill Foster that they go to the university to ask him a question. He actually has more to do with the storyline. That was actually pretty well done. I could get behind the actress who played Ghost. But I like that Ghost wasn't actually a villain per se. Ghost was someone who was affected by circumstances beyond her control. And they brought S.H.I.E.L.D. into this, and, you know, S.H.I.E.L.D. trained her and made her do this and do that and do this and do that. And it plays S.H.I.E.L.D. I think this is probably one of the first times it plays S.H.I.E.L.D. as not stupidly altruistic. Because they had her from when she was the young girl after her parents died. And who was her father? Her father was somebody in the Marvel Universe. I'm almost positive.
I don't remember his name because it's like like that one flashback sequence.
Okay, but I think her father was actually somebody in the Marvel Universe. But either way, okay, regardless. So she comes out and she's got this ability that she can't control and she's in a lot of pain. And S.H.I.E.L.D. goes, okay, here's what we'll do. We'll train you to use your abilities to do this, that, and whatever. You use it for us. You save the free world, whatever, and we'll find a way to cure you. And they never do. And S.H.I.E.L.D. goes bust, and she's left out there. You know? I think that's actually pretty novel. Because if, you know, based on what we've seen in S.H.I.E.L.D., you know that somebody could have reached out and gone, okay, well, look, this, that, the other thing, this, that, and the third, blah, blah, blah. But no. She got tossed. You know, S.H.I.E.L.D. went down and, you know, just like, oh, well. You know, sucks to be you. Find your own way. You know, and that's kind of like S.H.I.E.L.D. in the comics. You know, not something you see too often, but it's there. You know, that was actually a pretty good thing in my opinion. I'll say Walter Goggins playing like the Justin Hammer type, you know, because, you know, that's kind of what he was. I thought that was pretty fun. The it's not truth serum gag that was actually pretty funny. I thought having the father from Fresh Off the Boat. He helped make the movie, and part of it actually had to do with the fact that he's the father from Fresh Off the Boat, because I like the show so much. But you know, the whole oh we're gonna get him this time, run over, get to his house, and oh damn, I missed out, shit, fuck, damn.
That was a great running joke.
It was. It was, especially the older guy that was like his second in command or whatever, and you could tell that's what he was because that's how he carried himself, even though I don't think they ever said what his name was, but I recognize that this is what this man's role is. I thought that man actually played it off really well. The family stuff. You know, John liked the thing with the little girl. The thing with his daughter, okay. That beginning, when they're in, like, the castle and going on the adventure with all the boxes and shit, as Luis is making the adjustments to the security system, that was well done. I thought that was fucking awesome. I absolutely loved that opening sequence. And then, you know, they get in the escape craft and they're just going down the staircase and shit like that. And you know that, yeah, that shit would have torn itself apart with the two of them on it like halfway through. But you know the fact that they made it all the way down, and I absolutely loved it. Absolutely loved that opening sequence. You know, one of the best I've seen for, I'll say, a comic book movie. You know, because it was a family moment, not necessarily one with kick-ass action or anything else like that. It was just a nice, and I'm not one for usually saying this. It was a nice character moment. Because, you know, I don't really care about characters. I care about incidents. There's a lot to like in this movie. You know, it kind of makes you feel good. You know, you don't have to go in with a whole lot of baggage or knowledge or anything else like this. It's just a nice movie to sit down and just enjoy. And I think that's probably its greatest strength. You know, it doesn't require a whole lot to enjoy it. You know, there you go.
John Boy.
Okay, I will say this. I agree with the Hot Wheels collection. That was hilarious. His first reaction when he woke up after being drugged, and you see the pigeons attacking the vehicle. Laughed my ass off. And then, I'm from San Francisco, in that area. That's where I was born, and before I moved to Oklahoma. And I recognized some of the scene, and they were going to go down the... That one curve, I was like, oh God, that is really a shitty road. Don't, because it was all curves and all that down the hill. And just the up and, you know, shrinking and getting back down, shrinking it. I was just like, I loved that. The whole car sequences was just hilarious. It's truth serum. No, it's not. It is truth serum. It just, I mean, and I agree. The opening part with Scott and Cassie was probably one of my favorite parts of any, you know, of an opening for a movie in a long time for a comic book film, because it perfectly shows the, you know, the family dynamic that he has to deal with. And I have to admit, they did a really good CGI job again on Michael Douglas in that opening scene where they show him and Janet, you know, leaving for the inevitable.
Oh yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, that was actually really well done.
And cool. Michelle Pfeiffer, I know they did a little bit on her, but they didn't have to do as much on her as like they did with him, you know, because that's how well she has aged. Wow. But just damn good job on de-aging both of them. I also like the fact that when they're like, oh, we got you handled on not being in the house, and you see the giant ant with the ankle monitor. That was hilarious. And he was doing everything that Scott did, you know, and he get in the bathtub, and you see him just like, what? We're playing the drum, and just everything. I loved everything pretty much. There we go. I'll go see it again if I can. That's how good I think of it. I won't say it's in my top five simply because, you know, you had Infinity War and a couple other films come out, but it does almost, I will say, right there, right, I would say number six, you know, probably right behind the first Ant-Man.
I think that's fair.
For me. So.
All right. Y'all are overlooking what my personal favorite scene, which is the, where they're opening the quantum tunnel or trying to open it for the first time, or the second time rather, and the spirit of Janet inhabits Scott.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's funny because, like, it's clearly, you know, Scott channeling Janet, and it's supposed to be funny because, like, the way not Michael Douglas, but Hank Pym is looking at Scott, I'm like, this is hilarious and awkward, and like he's like caressing like Hope's hair. It's like that was like, it was funny and wholesome at the same fucking time. It's like I was laughing but going, "Ah, oh, I'm confused." But it was like a great like moment. It was a great scene. I already mentioned the middle school scene where he looks like a little child. And this just tops it off. Like, do you want a juice box? And he, you know, just says, you really got one of those? It's like, I'll take one. One thing I was kind of not disappointed, but I really wish that Bill Foster, because at the end when they're trying to get Hank or Scott back to his house before the finale, that I wish that, and they blew up the Ant-Man, the giant man size. I really wish Bill Foster was in that costume.
That would have been something. Yeah, that would have been something.
But somehow Scott blew it up and shrunk down and got back in time. That would have been a nice little callback thing. I'm trying to think of what else. There's so much to like about this movie. You know, the whole when Ghost just invades out of nowhere, and again, I brought up Baba Yaga earlier, but the fact that he starts singing singing a song about Baba Yaga. Just to raid her away. Just too fucking funny. Oh God. There's a lot to like in this movie. I did, like, and I already said, I liked the twist with Bill Foster. Cause I didn't see it coming. I legit went, you know, cause I assumed he was done. Okay. There's Bill Foster. Everybody, we've had a Bill Foster. Bye, Bill Foster. You know, and but that was nice. I agree with Taser. I like the fact that Ghost wasn't inherently a villain. Like, you can tell this is a woman who was just got played the wrong hand in every single game she played, and you could understand why she would want to do why she would want to try to save her own skin over saving Janet's. Like, she's not thinking rational, she's in just constant pain.
Yeah, she had a vested interest in doing what she was doing because literally she was trying to save her life. You know,
right.
So you could understand why she might not necessarily be like, you know, oh, let's, you know, work together hand in hand and everything else like that, because, you know, she was working on borrowed time. You know, I totally got that. But what was it? Oh, crap, I had something on the tip of my tongue, and damn it, I can't remember what it is right now. I suck.
Oh, don't say that around Arnold, honey.
No, oh, I liked when Iggy got hit with the truth serum and he starts telling the story about Ant-Man, about Scott, like where he is and whatever, and he goes through the whole history, including his relationship with Hope that actually turned into a romance. And right there, you see that, you know, when they start, you know, macking and getting it on, that actually explains why she was as pissed at him when, you know, when she goes and she knocks him out and puts him in the car and shit like that. And, you know, like where that hatred was coming from, because she was pissed at him in the first movie because he was getting the costume and, you know, he was getting the support from her father and being an active, you know, adventure or whatever instead of her. Then they start doing things together, and then he gets tapped to go, you know, help out Captain America, and then he gets pinched, and because he gets pinched, they get pinched. And yeah, they got pinched, but if he had told her, hey, this is what's happening, she'd have been fine if he'd have asked her to come with him. She probably would have gone, and, you know, even if they both got caught, she would have been completely fine with it as long as that had happened, and their relationship would have been fine. But because he went by himself trying to spare her and her father, you know, the problems, not thinking that he'd get caught, that led to this schism. I thought that was actually pretty well done, how you find out exactly where all that, you know, that antagonism was coming from. I thought that was really well done. Also, I like seeing Evangeline Lilly get kissed because I like Evangeline Lilly. You know, I'm just saying.
Uh-huh. Her kicking ass. Her kicking the shit out of everybody in the kitchen in that hotel restaurant was awesome. But, sorry, I wasn't trying to.
I'm trying to think of what else I liked about this movie. I like pretty much everything. It's hard to distill down about what I did like.
Do you think that Cassie and her mom and stepdad, do you think they got hit with the vapors?
Oh yeah. I think they're gone.
Really?
More than likely.
I don't know. I mean, it's 60%. By the way, fun fact, Kevin Feige confirmed that Thanos didn't just kill humans, he killed your pets too. So it just stands 50% chance your dog or your cat
died. No!
Yeah.
Bye-bye, Lockjaw.
Yeah. Good riddance. At least MCU, Lockjaw. It's not even MCU because it's not canon. I guess let's move on to the post-credits scene then, because it's not really... not really much else to say, but we all saw it coming, right?
Like, yeah,
we all knew.
Yeah.
The ending is such a good feel good moment. Like Scott and Hope are together, you know. Hank and Janet have their little house on the beach. It's all good. And of course, then it looks like they're still experimenting for Ghost, trying to find time particles, and all of a sudden, well, you don't hear a snap, but then, you know, Scott goes into the ether, and he doesn't hear anything, and next thing you just see those dust particles again.
That comes out, and like, I figured that was gonna happen just as he goes in, and I'm thinking to myself, oh, imagine what happens. Imagine if they do X, and that's exactly what happens. And everybody in the theater was like, oh. And just like during Jurassic Park when that T-Rex bites the guy's head off, I'm the only one in the fucking theater laughing my ass off, you know? I thought that was really well played. I honestly did, you know? They could have just left that alone and not done the scene that comes all the way at the end. I think would have been perfect, you know?
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, yeah, I think you had said it. If that had been the end scene, that would have been well done.
Yeah, because it's that kick in the reminder, because like you just got through this 2-hour movie of this family finally got reunited after, at least in the movie time period, was it 30 years? You know, where they thought Janet was dead, and yeah, finally like they're that. they're finally all together, and then your was the ending of Infinity War, where you saw a lot of your favorites get vaporized into dust. So like it was just like, and I told these guys off air that I started playing The Sound of Silence like on my way out of the theater, because it was like, that's how I felt. I'm like, oh yeah, they're dead.
But on the plus side, it's going to set up a major play for Scott to come in through an Avengers 4.
Yeah, I really hope so, because I know some people are like skeptical that Scott won't be in effect, but I think he's on set and everything. Like, they've shown pictures that are out there. But I hope so, because he deserves to be. Like, I can't wait to see him interact with like Thor and Groot.
What I've heard Groot's
Groot's dead.
I heard that he ends up coming back by playing with time, and his daughter ends up, I think she becomes Stature, and I think she picks him up in the future and ends up, there's something going on there that she's grown up, she's Stature, and she's involved in rescuing him, and you know, it has to do with, you know, Thanos or whatever. But I'm like, well, wait a minute, hold on, so you mean to tell me fucking 20 some odd years passes and then he gets rescued? Yo, that's gonna be some weird time shit. That's gonna be some.
Well,
really
we'll
good
have to see.
Shit.
We'll have to see.
Yeah, because there's a lot of stuff they're gonna be setting up. Just.
Well, you're right, and you know, truth be told, you know that the second half of that movie isn't going to play out like it did in the comics, because there's too much that hasn't been set up for them to try to play it off. You know, like
oh,
they
sure,
did.
Oh, sure.
But yeah, I honestly, I kind of want that, because it kind of makes me think, so wait a minute, does this mean that they're going to actually be introducing some young Avengers elements? Because that would be interesting. That would be really interesting, you know?
Yeah, but let's not talk about that, because I know some people don't necessarily want to hear that this early. There's a lot of speculation going on right now with that, but needless to say, Scott's going to play a big role in it. He's not. It's safe to say he's going to play a big role in it. In whatever Avengers 4 is going to be called, we don't know at this time. But let's talk about that final post-credit sequence, which was awkward as all hell. Like, because I didn't know what to feel. Because, I mean, you have the funny aspect of the ant, you know, playing, doing the thing, playing with the drum, playing the rock band drums.
But then you're hearing the tone on the TV. You know, when obviously it's the emergency broadcast system, and there's.
Yeah, there's not enough people to fucking man the television stations. Like, it was, like, creepy. So, like, I feel like they could have done something else. Like, they could have shown another side of that without focusing on that single ant. You know, they could have shown more of what Thanos' reach was. I mean, we kind of already know how big it was. But they could have done something else besides. Because I just felt confused on how it's supposed to react. I felt more weirded out than more confusing.
Well, not only that, but why would that ant be playing the drums anyway?
Well, it's programmed to do Scott's routine. So.
But he doesn't. Well, see, but that's what I'm saying, though. It no longer has to do that. You know? So, unless.
Maybe he wound up enjoying it.
Yeah, so Hank said, oh, so you really enjoyed the drums. Hey, Scott, do you mind if, you know, Clacky here sticks around and plays the drums at a certain time of the day at your house? I don't know.
Clacky.
Which works as a name, but I don't know. I thought it was more. I mean, I got the creepiness aspect of it, because, you know, it's playing the drums and there's nobody around. I mean, the neighborhood is quiet. You've got the emergency signal going on in the TV, and this thing's trying to fucking play drums and shit. Like, wow, really? But it just seems out of place for me, which is why I told John, you know, that last scene was totally unnecessary. You didn't really need it. You know, somebody thought it'd be funny because, hey, look, it's an ant playing drums. Durr. But, I just...
Yeah, they should have switched the scenes, though. That would have worked better. You know, just have it where you're in the credits and you see the ant playing, you know, just no one, but there's no one in the house, but, you know, they could be out doing something. He's playing. And then you go to that end credit and then you go through all that, and that would have been a better, I think, setup. You know, it would have gotten people... Oh yeah! Instead of, you know,
and
trying to get that.
Boo-hoo!
Yeah. Like I said, that's what I said on Facebook. I was like, "Great movie, but damn, that mid-credit scene, freaking Marvel!" But you know, oh boy, I got to put the shares up here. Give me one second.
All right. Well, I think that's the signal to stop it. Thanos is gonna call. Thanos
time to abandon ship.
All right. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to this. Hopefully, Ant-Man gave you some good vibes, because Lord knows when Infinity War Part 2 comes out, it's going to be a whole nother set of, oh, God, why, again, or just pure tenseness for 3 hours.
And who knows if we're going to be in the Hunger Games by then, you know?
Yeah, we may not even get it. We may not even make it to theaters. We may all just be killing each other because fucking, I'm not going to get into it here.
That's all I'm saying.
Follow us on various social media by searching for the Mighty Warriors 3. These guys apparently manage it on Facebook. I don't go on Toxic Ass Facebook, so I don't know. For all I know, it's a shithole.
Yeah, he just does Twitter.
Yeah, just
like
Twitter.
That's not toxic as fuck.
I mean, I never said it wasn't. But I'd rather not deal with people who are, well, they're racist people on Twitter too. But I can ignore them easier on Twitter. I can ignore them easier. Taser, tell them more about the Facebook thing.
We're on Facebook.
There you go. Thank you. John, do you have anything to say before we go, John?
Buy bonds. Go see this movie again. If you haven't seen it, then, well, you just got spoiled the fuck out of it, but go see it.
Mind you.
Yeah. And check us all out on the Mighty Warriors 3 page on Facebook. We've got a Twitter deal that you just look up Twitter.
Also,
I'm at Gamera Sith on Twitter.
If
Taser's at whatever
Taser
does.
Yeah, I don't really do Twitter, but I do want to say that because of what we've been doing on Facebook, and when I post a show on there, apparently Facebook has also been pitching them to Instagram. I don't know how it looks. If you see us on Instagram, give us a like or whatever. You know, I don't mess with Instagram at all, but, you know, apparently our show's been has been pitched onto there because of Facebook. So a thumbs up. And
I'll tell you what, I'll check it out because I'm on Instagram, and I'll tell you see what it looks like, and I'll let you know.
All right, cool. And to our international friends like Mike Hyde and Antonio, hopefully you guys see us. You know, our ads being pitched, because I think I've worked out the kinks with pitching to different countries. So the last show that we did, that's been pitched, and this one will be too. Hopefully, you know, things go better than they did the last time, because, yeah, I kind of effed up on that. So, hey, look forward to this show. That's all I got to say.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, well, thank you for listening, and we will see you all in 2 weeks for a regular scheduled program. Until next time, stay marvelous. Have a good night,
everybody.
And
we're brought to you by Tony Stark's House of Ribs.